Welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. The Lexington chapter of ART has been bringing new life to some of the great Gildersleeves who have lost their recordings. Make no mistake, Gildy and his friends have moved south of the Mason-Dixon line. Here's episode 28. We call it Gone with the Wind.
Kraft presents
The Great Gildersleeve. The Kraft Cheese Company, who also bring you Bing Crosby every Thursday night, present each week at this time The Great Gildersleeve, written by Leonard L. Levinson. We'll hear from The Great Gildersleeve in just a moment. Meantime, here's something a friend of mine told me the other day about her experience with parquet margarine. She said, "You know, I've been using parquet margarine for some time, but my friends never believe me when I tell them how delicious it is, till I get them to try parquet margarine themselves." Well, I can understand that. Lots of people think of margarine as it used to be, not as it is today, made by Kraft. You see, parquet margarine is one of Kraft's fine foods. It's made to Kraft's high standards of quality and flavor. If you like other Kraft products, such as Miracle Whip, you're pretty sure to like parquet margarine, too. But why not find out how good parquet margarine is by trying some yourself? Try parquet margarine spread on bread. Try it for pan frying and baking, too. Its delicate, appetizing flavor will really amaze you. Remember, too, parquet margarine is a nourishing, wholesome energy food that contains important vitamin A. So try some tomorrow. Just ask for parquet. P-A-R-K-A-Y. The wholesome, delicious margarine made by Kraft. And now, let's visit our friend, the Great Gildersleeve, who has just had a visit from the mailman.
Ah, this is the letter I've been waiting for, Bertie.
Must be mighty important. You've been beating the path out to the mailbox all morning.
Yes, I either need to get longer legs or a smaller front porch. On the house, I mean. I've been waiting for this shipment of stamps for my collection for days. Just look at them. Wonderful, aren't they?
You mean those stamps? They can't be worth nothing. They've been used.
Of course they have. Some used stamps are worth a lot more than new ones.
Oh, now you're just funning me, Mr. Gildersleeve.
No, I'm not, Bertie. That's a fact.
Well, if it's a fact, you better let the post office in on it. They have a prejudice against secondhand stamps.
You don't understand. It's a hobby. Haven't you any hobby, Bertie?
No, sir. Sometimes I think I'd like a hubby for a hobby, but I'm afraid I couldn't keep up with the upkeep.
Well, you should have some avocation for your spare time.
Yes, sir. I was thinking about taking up polo till I found out what it was.
Well, I'm going to put these stamps in my book now. Say, aren't they beauties?
I wouldn't know. Are they?
Why, yes. They're as old as I am, and a lot better preserved, too.
Maybe. But they haven't had the wear and tear you've had.
That's right. Oh, hello, Marjorie.
Hello, Uncle Mort. Say, Bertie, the Eggman is at the back door. Is there anything you want?
Just one thing. Bigger eggs. Lately, it appears he's got hummingbirds working for him. And I'm going to tell him, too. I'm going to say to him, "Now you look here, Mr. Eggman."
Bertie certainly sees that we get our money's worth, doesn't she?
Yes. Why, on Tuesday, I ordered some artichokes at the market, and she sent them back. Said there wasn't anything on them after she peeled off the leaves.
Personally, I don't think there's anything to them, even if you leave the leaves on.
Oh, did the mail come, Uncle Mort?
Yes.
Any letters for me?
No, not a single bulletin from the Army. All your boyfriends were probably tired out after a hard day's marching.
Even so, they don't do their writing with their feet. Oh, I see you've gotten some more stamps. And that reminds me, Leroy's teacher, Miss Penny Packer, called. She says...
I don't care what she says. Those algebra answers I gave Leroy last night are correct.
She didn't say anything about that, Uncle Mort.
Well, if she's complaining about his history, he did that himself.
No, it's about those defense stamp books you gave all the students at Christmas time.
Oh, yes. I started about 200 of them off with a book and a 10-cent stamp apiece. What about them?
Well, they've all filled them up.
They have? Well, isn't that wonderful? Why, that means, let me see, a book full is $5 worth, 200 books makes $1,000.
Yes, she wants you to come over and take the books down to the bank and exchange them so each child will have a $5 stamp.
Well, I'll go over right after lunch. I'll be honored to do it. In fact, I may even go so far as to make a little speech to the students.
That's very nice of you, Uncle Mort. All except for the speech.
And what's wrong with me making a speech to the children?
Well, nothing except, well, can you write one on such short notice?
Oh, I could use the same one that was such a success at the Elks. That should please the little dears.
$198, $199, $200. There you are, Mr. Gildersleeve, and please take good care of them.
Oh, yes, Miss Pennypacker. $1,000 worth of defense stamps. Why, that's enough to buy a Jeep or 5 mules. Did I ever tell you how I used to buy mules for the Army in the last war?
Several times, Mr. Gildersleeve. And personally, I prefer Jeeps.
Quite right. As my nephew Leroy says, give the Japs the jitters with the Jeeps because they're the answers to the Panzers.
Precisely. And speaking of your nephew, Mr. Gildersleeve, there's a little matter we should discuss.
Oh, there is?
Yes, it's his algebra.
And what's wrong with his algebra?
The answers. Up until a month ago, algebra was Leroy's best subject, but since then he's developed some startling theories about mathematics.
He has? Has he?
Yes. I wonder where he could have picked them up.
Well, I've got to be going now.
Of course. Now, about Leroy's algebra.
Yes. Well, it's almost 1 o'clock, and I want to get down to the bank before it closes.
Surely. And regarding Leroy's algebra, come back, Mr. Gildersleeve, please. There's something I want you to do.
There's, something you want me to do?
Yes. I'm sure that if you devoted a few minutes every evening to going over his lessons with him, there will be a great difference in Leroy's work.
Oh, yes. If I help him, it makes a difference. Yes, that's happened before.
Fine. I hope you find the solution to Leroy's problems.
Yes. Well, Miss Pennypacker, I'll be back tomorrow with the $5 stamps. Goodbye.
Hi, Unc. You going to stay and make a speech to us?
No, Leroy. I offered to, but Miss Pennypacker said she was giving the class a grammar test this afternoon, and she didn't want anything I said to be held against you. Do you know what she meant?
Yeah, she meant...
Never mind, young man. I just got it. Oh, incidentally, I have a little bad news for you, Leroy.
You have?
Yes. I've decided that it isn't fair to you, nor the school, for me to help you with your algebra, as I've been doing for the past month.
Oh.
So, from now on, you'll have to do your lessons alone. I hope you don't mind.
Mind? Gee, for the past 3 weeks, I've been trying to think of a way to tell you.
Ah, good afternoon, Mr. Kellogg. Have you any $5 defense stamps?
I think I can fix you up, Mr. Gildersleeve. How many do you want?
Oh, just a few. Say about 200 of them.
$1,000 worth?
Yes. I'm trading in these 200 10-cent stamp books. The boys and girls at Flugelhammer Junior High School saved them up.
Oh, yes, I know. My boy goes there. His mother gives him a stamp every time he practices the violin.
Well, at that rate, he may play like Yasha Heifetz someday, if the stamps hold out.
Probably more like Jack Benny. I had to give him 5 stamps last night to lay off while I made up my income tax. Wait right there. I'll have to get your stamps out of the vault.
Okay, take your time. Well, hello there, Judge.
Hello, Gildersleeve.
What are you doing in the bank, Hooker? Did your fountain pen run dry?
Do you mean that cheap one you gave me for my birthday? I threw that away long ago.
That was an expensive pen. Guaranteed for a lifetime. The only reason they gave me such a low price was because they only had to guarantee it for your lifetime.
Oh, skip it, will you? I'm here to put some money into my sinking fund.
Sinking fund?
Yes, I'm sinking my money in defense stamps, so our Navy can be sinking more Axis subs.
I'm doing the same thing, only on a bigger scale, of course.
Gildersleeve, the only thing you do on a bigger scale than I is weigh yourself. I bet I buy more defense stamps than you do any day.
Is that so? I'd like to see you buy as many stamps as I do today.
Well, just wait till the teller gets back. I'll show you. By the way, you could save me a trip to your house. Here, take this book home to Marjorie, will you?
I'll be glad to. What's this? Oh, Gone with the Wind. Never thought you'd return it. I said to Marjorie, if you gave it to that big wind, it's gone.
Spare me your feeble jokes, Gildersleeve. Just apologize to your niece for the delay.
By George, I'll bet you've had this book a year.
How much do you want to bet? I haven't had it a day over 7 months.
7 months? What did you do, look up all the big words in the dictionary?
No, I didn't. I mean, I didn't have to. It was misplaced. My cook used it to prop open the kitchen window.
Hooker, you have more trouble with your cook than Scarlett O'Hara had with her butler.
I've got them for you, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Ah, at last, Kellogg. My defense stamps, huh?
Yes, sir. Here you are, $1,000 worth.
How much?
You heard the man. Well, Judge, are you going to buy as many as I have?
Well, now, wait a minute, Gildersleeve. Is this on the level, Mr. Kellogg?
Oh, yes, Judge. He's handling them for the pupils at the junior high school.
Aw, gee whiz. Now you've gone and spoiled it. I was just having a little fun with you, Hooker.
You and your idea of fun. Always putting up a false front. And that's about the only thing you don't need. Now, get away from Mr. Kellogg's window and let me transact my business.
All right. As soon as I get an envelope for these stamps.
Let me see. Will this one do, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Oh, no. Much too small. Haven't you got a larger one?
No, but if you ask the cashier, he might have one.
I won't bother. I'll just carry them home inside this book. Have you got a rubber band?
No, but if you ask the vice president...
I won't bother with that either. To borrow a rubber band these days, you need two cosigners. Well, so long, Judge. Good morning, Marjorie. Good morning, Leroy.
Good morning, Uncle Mort.
Morning, huh?
Where's Bertie?
Oh, she has the day off. She'll be back in time to fix dinner, though. I've fixed breakfast for us.
Well, that's dandy. What have you got?
I couldn't find the orange squeezer, so we're having canned prunes.
I see.
And the bacon caught fire, so we're having dry cereal instead.
Ooh.
And the coffee boiled over, so we're drinking milk.
Just so long as I have a knife to scrape my toast.
One good thing, Unc. It won't take us long to eat. That means we can get to school earlier.
Leroy, why are you in such a hurry to get to school?
Gee, don't you know? Uncle Mort is bringing us our $5 defense stamps today. Everybody's all hopped up about getting them, too. Say, can I pick out mine now, Unc? Huh? Can I?
Surely. Just run into the living room and bring me that copy of Gone with the Wind.
Gone with the Wind? What's that got to do with those defense stamps, Uncle Mort?
Oh, I couldn't get an envelope at the bank, so I carried them home in the book.
Oh.
Why, Marjorie, you look terribly pale. Leroy, run and bring your sister a glass of water.
Better get some water for Uncle Mort, too, Leroy.
Why?
I gave that book away this morning.
What? With $1,000 worth of defense stamps in it? Why did... Who did... Where did... How did it happen?
A truck came by earlier today to pick up the books we were contributing to the Victory Book Drive. And when I saw that copy of Gone with the Wind on the table, I just told Bertie to give them that old one, too.
Marjorie, you've given me the old one, too.
Gee, I don't think the kids are going to like this.
Oh, this is going to be one of my bad days.
The Great Gildersleeve will be back in just a moment. But first, there are quite a number of energy foods, foods that provide the kind of energy you need. The trouble is, so few of them are the kind of foods that are served every day. Well, that's one grand thing about parquet margarine. Parquet is one of the best energy foods you can serve, and it's the kind of food you serve not once, but at least three times each day. Parquet margarine tastes so good, your family will spread it thick on bread or toast or rolls. And of course, that's what you want them to do because parquet margarine is such a wholesome, nourishing, energy-producing food. In addition to being a wonderful source of food energy, parquet margarine is a reliable year-round source of vitamin A. Best of all, parquet margarine is economical. So economical that besides serving it at the table, you can use it all you want to add delicate flavor in all of your cooking too. So for all these reasons, order parquet margarine tomorrow. Just remember parquet. P-A-R-K-A-Y. Parquet margarine. Made by Kraft. Well, it looks like the great Gildersleeve has gotten himself into quite a mess. We rejoin him as he, Marjorie, and Leroy arrive at the warehouse of the Victory Book Drive in search of that valuable copy of Gone with the Wind.
This is it, Uncle Mort.
Come on, let's go in. We can't afford to lose any time or any defense stamps either.
Gee, look at all the books.
Why, there must be thousands here.
More than that.
Oh, why didn't I put those stamps in my pocket?
Good morning. What can I do for you? I don't know why I even ask you that. I can't do anything for you because I'm just a volunteer. I don't even know what I'm supposed to do here myself. Did you ever see so many books in your life before? By the way, the public isn't allowed in here.
Well, we're not the public, miss. We came here on a private matter.
Oh, that's different. Is it too private to tell me?
No. We gave some books for the drive this morning, and since then, we've discovered that we left a lot of defense stamps in one of them.
Oh, dear. That's too bad, isn't it? Yes. I can tell from your faces that it is. What kind of book was it? A stamp book?
No, it was Gone with the Wind. Have you got it?
Gone with the Wind? Oh, yes. From the picture of the same name. I saw it and had the loveliest time. I cried all the way through the Civil War. It was so sad, wasn't it?
Yes, and it's going to be just as sad for me if I don't find that $1,000 worth of defense stamps.
Oh, dear. $1,000 worth. Well, all you have to do is look inside all the Gone with the Winds. Why don't you go ahead while I telephone headquarters to see if it's all right for you to do it?
Fine. Thank you, young lady.
Oh, don't you mention it, you poor dears. But I'm afraid you have a big job ahead of you. It's just like looking for a needle in a haystack. Now, what is that telephone number at headquarters?
Come on, kids. Let's pitch in.
Say, I wonder if this one at the bottom of the pile...
Look out, Leroy!
Be careful!
Yes, if that landslide ever really lets go, we'll be up to our ears in education.
Gee, and it was the wrong book, too. Less Miserables.
Less miserable than what, Leroy?
I don't know. Than Victor Hugo, I guess.
What?
That's what it says here. Less Miserables, Victor Hugo.
Leroy, that's Les Miserables by Victor Hugo. It means the miserable ones, and he was probably thinking about us. Now come on, or we won't find those stamps until it's time to cash them in.
Yes, let's hurry. Here's Black Beauty.
Gentlemen prefer blondes.
The Rover Boys in North Dakota.
How to Make Friends and Influence People.
With Bird at the South Pole.
The Man Who Came to Dinner.
20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Sorrel and Son.
The Sun Was My Undoing.
All This and Heaven Too.
Gone with the Wind.
How to Make Your Own Fireworks.
Riders of the Purple Sage.
Wait a minute. Someone just said Gone with the Wind. Who was it?
Not me.
It wasn't me, Uncle Mort.
In that case, oh, I did. Where'd I put that book? Anybody see it? Had it here a minute ago.
It's in your hand, Uncle Mort.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Keep calm, children. No defense stamps.
Wait a minute, Unc. What was that you just passed?
Where? Oh, yes. Oh, no. Someone just pressed a petunia. Well, back to work, children. 50 prize-winning houseplants.
Of Mice and Men.
Oh, excuse me for interrupting you, but I don't think you're doing yourselves a bit of good on account of I've just talked with Mrs. Householder at headquarters, and she tells me that the truckload of books collected this morning went directly out to Fort Platte.
Oh, my goodness. That's 30 miles from here.
Yeah, but think of how many fewer books we'll have to look through, Unc.
That's right. Come on, Leroy. Marjorie, do you want to come with us, too?
I promised to do some work down at the Red Cross canteen today, but you shouldn't have any trouble finding it now.
No, that's right. Well, goodbye, Marjorie. Thank you, miss. Come on, Leroy. We've got to get out to Fort Platte.
My goodness, such excitement. Do things like that happen to your uncle every day?
Oh, no. Just once a week.
Thank you.
Oh, boy, Fort Platt.
Yes, come on, Leroy. I'm anxious to get that book back before anyone gets stuck on the contents.
Say, look at the guards, and they're carrying guns, too.
Those are sentries. Hello, soldier.
Halt. Hey, stop. Where do you think you're going?
Oh, just in to get a book.
Mister, this is a military reservation, not a public library.
Oh, yes, I realize that. I don't really want the book. I just want to get some defense stamps.
I'm sorry, mister. We aren't here to sell you defense stamps.
Oh, I don't want to buy them.
What is this? First you want to borrow a book, then you don't want to borrow a book. Next you want to buy defense stamps, then you don't want to buy defense stamps. Mister, in case you haven't heard, there's a war going on. Now, how about you going on, too, and leave us to go on with the war in peace?
Look, Sergeant, my uncle simply failed to explain the situation correctly. The students at my school filled up 200 defense stamp books, which he took to the bank yesterday to exchange for $1,000 worth of $5 denomination stamps. He then placed the new stamps in a copy of Gone with the Wind, which was inadvertently given to the organization collecting books for this camp. Now, may we please see the officer of the day?
Say, mister.
Yes?
Are you sure that this kid isn't your uncle?
And so you see, Major, what this means to the boys and girls of Peter B. Flugelhammer Junior High School.
How many did you say were involved in this?
200 of them. And if they don't get their defense stamps back, their little hearts will be broken.
No, they won't, Unc. They'll expect you to buy them new stamps.
Leroy, I've studiously avoided thinking of that alternative all day. What do you say, Major?
Why, I think we can help you. After all, you got into this trouble while trying to do your share, Mr.
Gildersleeve, formerly Major Gildersleeve, U.S. Artillery Remount Service, assigned to buying mules in 1918.
Tell him where you were kicked, Unc.
Oh, yes. I was kicked in the southwestern part of Missouri.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Would you like to have a seat?
Oh, no thanks. I feel fine now.
Well, in that case, let's go over to the rec building.
Oh, yes. That's the requisition building, Leroy.
I'm sorry, Major. That's actually the recreation hall. Things have changed a little since you were in the Army. Here we are.
Well, a pool table. Yes, things have changed a little since I was in the Army.
We'll just ask the hostess. Oh, Miss Lansing.
Yes, Major?
I want you to meet Mr. Gildersleeve.
I'm charmed, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Things have changed a lot since I was in the Army. How do you do, Miss Lansing? This is my nephew, Leroy.
Mr. Gildersleeve mislaid quite a lot of defense stamps in a book which may have come here today, Miss Lansing. Do you think you can help him find them?
I'll be only too glad to. The new books are right over here.
At last. Major, you don't know how much I appreciate this.
Here they are.
Yeah, there's the copy of Treasure Island I gave.
I see several familiar books, too. What's this?
Gone with the Wind, Unc?
No, my diary. They can't give this away. Why, it would be giving me away. If you don't mind, I'll take that back. It hasn't any possible military significance.
Oh, surely. Did I hear this young man say something about Gone with the Wind?
Yes. Where is it?
It's gone.
Oh,
don't feel that way. One of the boys just took it out to read.
He did? Do you know his name?
I have his card here somewhere. Oh, yes, yes. Private Joe Jones.
Joe Jones. Come on, Major. Let's find him. Oh, Miss Lansing, I'm so happy I could just kiss someone for that.
Well, Mr. Gildersleeve, that's strictly between you and Private Jones.
But, Major, are you sure Private Jones isn't in camp?
Yes, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Private Joe Jones. Don't forget, you probably have hundreds of other Joneses.
Oh, don't worry. We keep up with the Joneses here. This one had leave this afternoon and must have gone to Summerfield.
Then let's go back and try to find him, huh?
Wait a second, Leroy. How about the book, Major? Couldn't you locate it?
He must have taken it with him to read on the bus. It isn't anywhere in his barracks.
All right, Leroy. Let's go back to town and look for him. So long, Major, and thank you ever so much. And don't forget, if I can ever do anything for you or the Army, just call me.
All right, Mr. Gildersleeve. If we ever need any mules, I'll remember you.
Gee, Unc, are we going back in here again?
Yes, Leroy. Maybe Mr. Jones and my $1,000 have dropped in since we left.
But we've been to this canteen 4 times already.
Let's not give up. Come on, my boy.
Okay, but after this one, please let's go home, Unc. I'm so tired of looking for Gone with the Wind that my feet are gone with the ankles.
Ah, hello, Mrs. Twitchell. Still on duty?
Mr. Gildersleeve, I thought I told you the last time you were in here that this canteen is for military men.
That's all right. I'm in a fighting mood now.
But this place is only for the Army. And don't tell me about your mule buying again either.
I won't. I wonder if you'd mind paging Private Jones for me on the loudspeaker.
But I've already done that any number of times, Mr. Gildersleeve. I've taken Private Lionel Jones away from the pinball machine, Private Angelo Jones from the piano, Private Stonewall Jackson Jones from the bingo game, and Private Ira Jones from his ham sandwich.
I realize that, but I'm still looking for Private Joe Jones.
I don't think he's come in. Can you give me a description of him?
Well, he's the studious type, probably loaded down with a big heavy book.
Yeah, Mrs. Twitchell, and if Unc could relieve him of that big, heavy book, it would be a weight off of both their shoulders.
Mrs. Twitchell, if you'll just let me press this button and talk into the microphone like this. Private Joe Jones, please. Private Joe Jones, spelled J-O-N-E-S. Come to the front desk, will you, like a good fella? But then if you don't want to let me do that, that's all right, too.
Mr. Gildersleeve, unless you leave here at once, I'm going to relieve the rubber shortage.
You're what? Well, what do you mean?
I mean that the government will probably take you over, Mr. Gildersleeve, once they see how far you're bounced out of here. Good day.
Aren't you going to close the garage doors, Unc?
No, Leroy. I'm too tired to struggle with them tonight. I'll do it in the morning. Let's totter into the house and have dinner.
Okay. Boy, what a day this turned out to be.
Yes, and what a detective I turned out to be. Why, I couldn't find a lost bulldog if he was biting me.
Cheer up, Unc. You certainly tried everything.
That's true. I knew there were a lot of Joneses in this world, but I never knew they were all in the Army.
Yeah. Gee, that was a keen idea of yours, having Private Jones paged at all the movie theaters. Boy, did they pour out.
Yes, all except Joe Jones. I'm beginning to wonder if there is a Joe Jones.
What are you going to do, Unc?
I'm going to be out $1,000, unless some miracle happens.
Here, let me get the door. Gee, I'm hungry. I better go wash up. Hello, Marge.
Hello. Oh, there you are, Uncle Mort.
Hey, yes, Marjorie.
Didn't you get the stamps back?
No, Marjorie. We traced the book to the camp and even to the soldier who has it. Only we haven't got him. He's somewhere here in Summerfield.
Oh, how disappointing. Maybe we can find him later. Incidentally, I brought a soldier home from the canteen for supper.
That's a nice idea, my dear.
Come into the living room and meet him.
I'll be glad to. Good evening, young man.
Hello.
This is my uncle, Mr. Gildersleeve. Uncle Mort, this is Private Joe Jones.
Glad to meet you, sir. Any friend of Marjorie's is welcome. Who? Joe Jones? Oh! Welcome, young man. Here, have a chair. Oh, you already have one. Have a cigar. Make yourself at home. Unbutton your coat. Have another cigar.
Well, thanks.
So you're Joe Jones. Well, you're just the person we've been looking for. You can't imagine how much I've been wanting to meet you all day, Mr. Jones.
Are you sure I'm the Jones you want to meet?
Sure, I'm sure. You're the Joe Jones who took out Gone with the Wind from the Fort Platte Library today, aren't you?
Yes. How do you know?
Oh, I see. He's the one. Well, how lucky.
Gee, from the fuss you're making over me, you'd think I'd been MacArthur. What did I do?
You have a book we've been searching for all day.
You see, I didn't know Uncle Mort had left $1,000 worth of defense stamps in it when I gave it away.
Wait a minute. I don't think there was anything valuable in that book when I got it.
Oh, here we go again.
Are you sure, Mr. Jones?
I didn't see anything, but you can look for yourself. The book's right here with my overcoat. Here it is. Look.
Thanks. Let me see. Oh, great jumping jeeps. You're right.
It must have fallen out somewhere.
Dinner's ready.
You needn't bother about anything for me, Bertie. I haven't any appetite.
Well, that's too bad. Are you sick, Mr. Gillsleeve?
Yes. I'm about to undergo a major operation on my pocketbook.
How's that?
You know that copy of Gone with the Wind I told you to give away this morning, Bertie?
Sure.
Well, when you did that, you also gave away $1,000 worth of defense stamps.
Oh, no, Miss Marjorie. I wouldn't do a thing like that.
It's all right, Bertie. You didn't know what you were doing.
I did, too, know what I was doing. Those stamps dropped out of the book, so I picked them up and put them in a safe place.
You did? Where'd you put them, Bertie?
Why, I just pasted every single one of them into your stamp collection book.
What? Careful, Leroy. You don't want to tear any of the stamps.
I won't, Unc.
A little more steam under this one, Bertie.
Yes'm.
Almost done with this page, Gildersleeve.
Fine, Judge. Incidentally, it was mighty nice of you to come over and help us, Hooker. We should be all finished in another half hour or so.
Yeah, and just in time, too. It's almost 9 o'clock.
Just 9? Why, we're getting done early.
What do you mean early, Hooker? It's 9 o'clock in the morning. Good night, everybody.
The music heard on this program was written by Claude Sweetin. This presentation of The Great Gildersleeve starred Lee Delaney as The Great Gildersleeve. Missy Carl played Leroy, with Cindy Martin Asher as Marjorie and Lisette Ralph as Bertie. Nick Helton was the judge. Also in our cast you heard Pam Hungate, Stuart Talbert, Jan Hanley, Bob Hutchison, John Greenway, Berlin Lahr, Susie Hutchison, and David Maddox. The production was directed by Mike Wheeler. I'm your announcer, Aaron Hines, thanking you for listening and inviting you to join us again next time for the further adventures of The Great Gildersleeve.
Let's listen to some music from the days of old-time radio.
Come along and join the fun.
In a shady nook,
the dashing three cadets.
In a shady nook, by a babbling brook, mid the flowers I spend hours every day. That old shady nook, and that babbling brook, they're my memory book, since you're away. I can hear the strain of the birds refrain, but it's not the same since we have parted. In a shady nook, by a babbling brook, that's where I fell in love with you.
Cornell certainly ought to be an expert on love lyrics by this time. And he tells me that this tune, quote, really gets me, unquote, which translated into English means he enjoys singing it. Well, enjoy yourself, Don.
One dream in my heart, one love to be living for, one love to be living for. This nearly was mine. One girl for my dream, one partner in paradise. This promise of paradise, this nearly was mine. Close to my heart she came, only to fly away, only to fly as day flies from moonlight. Now I'm alone, still dreaming of paradise, still saying that paradise. I give no thought to any wedding ring. Every bonny lassie was my healing flame.
No glance I was glancing, well, nothing really worth the mentioning. Hoping, watching, waiting for the real, real thing.
Though I danced each girl in a twist and twirl, nay one would do.
Till it came to pass to this lucky lass, in the fling I was flung with you.
Oh, now my heart is prancing.
Nothing about you I'd be altering.
The years I'll weather
in the hame or on the heather
with my one and only healing fling.
I thought you were falling for Andy McPherson.
Nay, he became an impossible Pearson. But what about you and that Connie McKenzie?
She talked when I putted and drove me to frenzy. But what of the lad known as Bobby McDougal?
It pays to be 50, but he was too frugal. And what did you daft about Maggie McDermott?
Hey, I tasted her cooking, 'twould make me a hermit. How jealous I was of McDonald McClutchin.
His neck had a head on, but wasn't much in it.
And what about Sandy?
His hands were too handy, and wasn't there Jenny?
Nay, wasn't any.
Now my heart is prancing.
No thin about you I'd be altering.
The years I'll weather in the hame or on the heather with my one and only healing flame.
Thank you very much. That wee bit of romance among the heather was sung by America's sweetheart, Don Cornell and Laura Leslie. Our Our tall, dark, and debonair Tony Alamo has his own special rooting section every time we play a theater. And when he sings a song like this, the Chrysler Song of the Week, you can hear the sighs way up on the stage.
You're breaking my heart 'cause you're leaving. You've fallen for somebody new. It isn't too easy believing you'd leave after all we've been through. It's breaking my heart to remember the dreams we depended upon. You're leaving a slow dying ember. I'll miss you, my love, when you're gone. I wish you joy, though teardrops burn. But if someday you should want to return, please hurry back and we'll make a new start, dear. Till then, you're breaking my heart.
Well, he started applauding, and I don't blame him, Tony. It was a good vocal. You know, one of the first musical instruments I ever owned was a 10-cent mouth harp. And the first number I ever learned to pick out on it was the Stephen Foster classic. It naturally was my first choice when Victor asked me to record a Stephen Foster album, Swanee River. Search for tunes both far and near and transcribe the best for you to hear.
Yes, sir, that's my baby now.
Dashing 3K Death, singing about a baby that must be quite a big girl by now.
Yes, sir, that's my baby. No, sir, don't mean maybe. Yes, sir, that's my baby now. Yes, ma'am, we've decided. No, ma'am, we won't hide it. Yes, ma'am, you're invited now. By the way, when we
baby now.
This next tune for Victor, our candid camera fiend, Cecil, our drummer, spent all his time trying to get a picture of Tony Alamo and the five cadets in action. Well, Cecil got his picture, and we got a record we're really proud of. Here's how it sounds.
They said my heart would break in two if I fell in love.
Our dusty manuscripts as we hear from America's sweethearts Laura Leslie and Don Cornell.
Oh, the object of my affection can change my complexion from white to rosy red. Anytime he holds my hand and tells me that he's mine.
Now there are many girls who can thrill me, some who can fill me with dreams of happiness. Ah, but I know I'll never rest until she says she's mine.
No, I'm not afraid that he'll leave me, 'cause he's not the kind to be unfair.
As for me, I trust her implicitly. She can go where she wants to go, do what she wants to do. I sure don't care.
Oh, the object of my affection can change my complexion from white to rosy red.
Anytime you hold my hand and tell me that you're mine. And tell me that you're mine. And tell me that you're mine.
You know, I've had people tell me that Chubby Silvers has a voice that would stop a clock. And they've been saying it's worse ever since Chubby first sang this song in Buffalo. Well, I don't believe it. You go ahead, Chubby, and sing. And I'll watch my watch.
Do the hucklebuck, do the hucklebuck. If you don't know how to do it, boy, you're out of luck. Push your father around, then you hunch your back. Start a little movement in your sacroiliac. Wiggle like a snake, waddle like a duck. That's the way you do it when you do the hucklebuck.
Wanna dance?
Uh-uh.
All alone?
Uh-uh. I'm gonna do a little blowing on my saxophone. Thank you.
push your father out, then you hunch your back. Start a little movement in your sacroiliac. Wiggle like a snake, waddle like a duck. That's the way you do it when you do the hucklebuck.
Hey, not now, I'll tell you when.
What do you know? My watch did stop. Egad. You folks probably didn't know this, but Don Cornell's hobby is weightlifting. So you see, he not only carries a tune, but he can lift the piano that goes with it. Say, Muscles, drop that piano. That's it, and come over here and join the three cadets.
I know that someday you'll want me to want you. When I'm in love with somebody else, you expect me to be true and keep on loving you. Though I am feeling blue, you think I can't forget you. Until someday you'll want me to want you. When I am strong for some and though you don't want me now, I'll get along somehow, and then I won't want you. I know that someday you'll want me to want you. When I'm in love with somebody else, you expect me to be true and keep on loving you. Though I am feeling blue, you think I can't forget you. Until someday you'll want me to want you. When I am strong for somebody new, and though you don't want me now, I'll get along somehow, and then I won't want you.
Making a picture called Song of the Open Road with Edgar Bergen and Jane Powell, we wanted to include a number that would really express the spirit of the football season, and this next tune was a unanimous choice. It's the Notre Dame Victory March.
Thank you. Gee, that's all the time I've got for today. For more ART podcasts, please go to www.americanradiotheater.org. You know, we put up a new one every month. The next old-time radio marathon will be on December the 12th, 9 a.m. Pacific to 9 p.m. Pacific, on radiooutofthepast.org. Hey, see you later!